"I'll help you," he said. But what could he do? He was just a boy. I got him out of the way. I sent him to fetch Dr. Maudsley, and while he was gone, I made strong, sweet tea and drank a potful. I thought hard thoughts, and I thought them quickly. By the time I was at the dregs, the prick of tears had quite retreated from my eyes. It was time for action. By the time the boy returned with the doctor, I was ready. The moment I heard their steps approaching the house, I turned the corner to meet them. "Emmeline, poor child," the doctor exclaimed as he came near, hand outstretched in a sympathetic gesture as though to embrace me. I took a step back and he halted. "Emmeline?" In his eyes, uncertainty flared. "Adeline?" It was not possible, it could not be. The name died on his lips. "Forgive me," he stammered. But still, he did not know. I did not help him out of his confusion. Instead, I cried. Not real tears. My real tears, and I had plenty of them, believe me, were all stored up. Sometime, tonight or tomorrow, or sometime soon, I did not exactly know when, I would be alone and I would cry for hours. For John, for me. I would cry out loud, shrieking my tears the way I used to cry as a little girl when only John could soothe me, stroking my hair with hands that smelled of tobacco and the garden. Hot, ugly tears they would be, and when the end came, if it came, my eyes would be so puffed up I would only have red-rimmed slits to see out of. But those were private tears, and not for this man. The tears I gratified him with were fake ones. Ones to set off my green eyes the way diamonds set off emeralds. And it worked. If you dazzle a man with green eyes, he will be so hypnotized that he won't notice there is someone inside the eyes spying on him. "I'm afraid there's nothing I can do for Mr. Digens," he said, rising from beside the body. It was odd to hear John's real name. Did anyone know how it happened? No. Did anyone see it happen? No. Did Mr. Digens have family here? No. Then, and where is your uncle? With a sob to my voice, I told the doctor that my uncle had gone away. Then, allowing my eyes to rest on the corpse, I let my knees quiver. The doctor and the boy both leapt to my side, taking an elbow each. I permitted them to lead me around the house. The boy opened the kitchen door, and the doctor guided me in and pulled out a chair. I collapsed into it. "Where is your sister? Does she know what's happened?" I didn't bat an eyelid.
"She is sleeping."
"Just as well. Let her sleep, perhaps, eh?"
I nodded.
"Now you can hardly stay here on your own, not after this. It was rash of your uncle to leave you in the first place so soon after losing your housekeeper and without finding a replacement. Someone must come."
"Is it really necessary?"
I was all tears and green eyes. "Well, surely you..."
"It's just that the last time someone came to take care of us. You do remember our governess, don't you?"
And I flashed him a look so mean and so quick, he could hardly believe he'd seen it. He had the grace to blush and looked away. When he looked back, I was nothing but emeralds and diamonds again.